Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer, also known as the Milwaukee Cannibal or the Milwaukee Monster, was an American serial killer and sex offender who committed the murder and dismemberment of 17 men and boys from 1978 to 1991. Many of his later murders involved necrophilia, cannibalism, and the permanent preservation of body parts, typically all or part of the skeleton. Although he was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, schizotypal personality disorder, and psychotic disorder, Dahmer was found to be legally sane at his trial. He was convicted of 15 of the 16 murders he had committed in Wisconsin and was sentenced to 15 terms of life imprisonment on February 15, 1992. Dahmer was later sentenced to the 16th term of life imprisonment for an additional homicide committed in Ohio in 1978. On November 28, 1994, Dahmer was beaten to death by Christopher Scarver, a fellow inmate at Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, Wisconsin. What's up, guys? You're listening to the internet's number one serial killer podcast. I'm your host, D. Cooley. We got a long one for you today. We're going to go over everything to do with Jeffrey Dahmer, from his childhood all the way up through his murders, through his trial. So sit back, this is going to be another two-part, and get ready, because here we go. Dahmer was born May 21, 1960 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the first of two sons of Joyce Annette Nee Flynn, a teletype machine instructor, and Lionel Herbert Dahmer, a Marquette University chemistry student. Lionel Dahmer was of German and Welsh ancestry, and Joyce Dahmer was of Norwegian and Irish ancestry. It has been claimed that Dahmer was deprived of attention as an infant. Other sources, however, suggest that Dahmer was generally doted upon as an infant and toddler by both parents. Although his mother was known to be tense, greedy for both attention and pity, and argumentative with her husband and their neighbors. As Dahmer entered first grade, Joyce began to spend an increasing amount of time in bed recovering from weakness. Lionel's university studies kept him away from home much of the time. When he was home with his wife, a hypochondriac who suffered from depression demanded constant attention. She reportedly worked herself into a state of anxiety over trivial matters, simply to appease her husband. She once attempted suicide with Equinil. Consequently, neither parent devoted much time to their son. Dahmer had been an energetic and happy child, but became notably subdued after double hernia surgery shortly after his fourth birthday. He recalled extreme tension and arguments between his parents during his early years. At elementary school, Dahmer was regarded as quiet and timid. One teacher said she sensed he felt neglected because of his mother's illnesses. Nonetheless, in grade school, Dahmer did have a small number of friends. From an early age, Dahmer manifested an interest in dead animals. He initially collected large insects such as dragonflies and butterflies in jars. Later, he collected animal carcasses from the roadside. Occasionally accompanied by one or more friends, he dismembered these animals either at home or in nearby woodland. According to one friend, Dahmer dismembered these animals and stored the parts in jars in the family's tool shed, explaining that he was curious as to how animals fitted together. In one instance, Dahmer decapitated the carcass of a dog before nailing the body to a tree and impaling the skull on a stake beside a wooden cross in the woods near his house. His fascination with dead animals might have begun when, at the age of four, he saw his father removing animal bones from beneath the family home. According to Lionel, Dahmer was oddly thrilled by the sound of the bones made and became preoccupied with animal bones. He occasionally searched beneath and around the family home for additional bones and explored the bodies of live animals to discover where their bones were located. In October 1966, the family moved to Doylestown, Ohio. When Joyce gave birth in December, Jeffrey was allowed to choose the name of his new baby brother. He chose the name David. The same year, Lionel earned his degree and started work as an analytical chemist in nearby Akron, Ohio. In 1968, the family moved to Bath Township, Ohio. 2 years later, during a chicken dinner, Dahmer asked Lionel what would happen if chicken bones were placed in bleach. Lionel, pleased with Dahmer's curiosity, demonstrated how to safely bleach and preserve animal bones. Dahmer incorporated these techniques into his bone collecting. From his freshman year at Revere High School, Dahmer was seen as an outcast. At 14, he began drinking beer and hard alcohol in school. He told a classmate it was his medicine. Although largely uncommunicative in his freshman year, Dahmer was seen by his staff as polite and highly intelligent, but with average grades. He was a keen tennis player and played briefly in the high school band. When he reached puberty, Dahmer discovered he was gay. He did not tell his parents in his early teens. He had a brief relationship with another teenage boy, although they never had intercourse. By his later admission, Dahmer began fantasizing about dominating and controlling a completely submissive male partner. These fantasies gradually became intertwined with dissection. When he was about 16, Dahmer conceived a fantasy of rendering unconscious a particular male jogger he found attractive and then making sexual use of his body. On one occasion, Dahmer concealed himself in bushes with a baseball bat to lay in wait for this man, who did not, however, pass by on this particular day. Dahmer later said that was his first attempt to attack someone. Despite being regarded as a loner and an oddball among his peers at RHS, Dahmer became something of a class clown who often staged pranks, which became known as doing a Dahmer. These included bleeding and stimulating epileptic seizures or cerebral palsy at school and local stores. By 1977, his grades had declined. His parents hired a private tutor with limited success. The same year, in an attempt to save their marriage, his parents attended counseling sessions. They continued to quarrel frequently. When Lionel discovered Joyce had engaged in a brief affair in September 1977, they both decided to divorce, telling their sons they wished to do so amicably. Lionel moved out of the house in early 1978. In May 1978, Dahmer graduated from high school. A few weeks before his graduation, one of his teachers observed Dahmer sitting close to the school parking lot drinking several cans of beer. When the teacher threatened to report the matter, Dahmer informed him he was experiencing a lot of problems at home and that the school's guidance counselor was aware of them. That spring, Joyce and David moved out of the family home to live with relatives. Dahmer had just turned 18 and remained in the family home. Dahmer's parents' divorce had finalized on July 24, 1978, and Joyce was awarded custody of her younger son and alimony payments. Dahmer committed his first murder in 1978, 3 weeks after his graduation. At the time, he was living alone in the family home in Bath. Following their decision to divorce, Lionel temporarily lived in a nearby hotel, and Joyce had relocated to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, with his younger brother, David. On June 18th, Dahmer picked up a hitchhiker named Stephen Mark Hicks, who was almost 19. Dahmer lured the youth to his house on the pretext of the two young men drinking alcohol together. Hicks had been hitchhiking to a rock concert in Lockwood Corners, agreed to accompany Dahmer to his house. According to Dahmer, after several hours of drinking and listening to music, Hicks wanted to leave, and I didn't want him to. In response, Dahmer bludgeoned Hicks with a 10-pound dumbbell. He later stated he struck Hicks twice from behind with the dumbbell as Hicks sat upon a chair. When Hicks fell unconscious, Dahmer strangled him to death with the bar of the dumbbell, then stripped the clothes from Hicks' body before masturbating as he stood above the corpse. The following day, Dahmer dissected Hicks' body in his basement. He later buried the remains in a shallow grave in his backyard, before several weeks later unearthing the remains and paring the flesh from the bones. He dissolved the flesh in acid before flushing the solution down the toilet. He crushed the bones with a sledgehammer and scattered them in the woodland behind his family home. 6 weeks after the murder of Hicks, Dahmer's father and his fiancée returned to his home, where they discovered Jeffrey living alone at the house. That August, Dahmer enrolled in Ohio State University, hoping to major in business. Dahmer's sole term at OSU was completely unproductive, largely because of his persistent alcohol abuse throughout the majority of his term. He received failing grades, an introduction to anthropology, classical civilizations, and administrative science. The only course Dahmer was successful at was riflery. Having received a B- grade, his overall GPA was 0.45 out of 4. On one occasion, Lionel paid a surprise visit to his son, only to find his room strewn with empty liquor bottles. Despite his father having paid in advance for a second term, Dahmer dropped out of OSU after just 3 months. In January 1979, on his father's urging, Dahmer enlisted in the United States Army, where he trained as a medical specialist at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. On July 13, 1979, he was stationed in Baumholder, West Germany, where he served as a combat medic in the 2nd Battalion, 68th Armored Regiment, 8th Infantry Division. According to published reports, in Dahmer's first year of service, he was an average or slightly above average soldier. Two soldiers attest to having been raped by Dahmer while in the Army. One stated in 2010 that Dahmer had repeatedly raped him over a 17-month period while they were both stationed in Bomb Soldier, while another soldier believes Dahmer drugged and raped him inside an armored personnel carrier in 1979. Owing to Dahmer's alcohol abuse, his performance deteriorated. In March 1981, he was deemed unsuitable for military service and was later discharged from the Army. He received an honorable discharge, as his superiors did not believe that any problems Dahmer had in the Army were applicable to civilian life. On March 24, 1981, Dahmer was sent to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for debriefing and provided with a plane ticket to travel anywhere in the country. Dahmer later told police he felt he could not return home to face his father, so he opted to travel to Miami Beach, Florida, both because he was tired of the cold and in an attempt to live by his own means. In Florida, Dahmer found employment at delicatessen, and rented a room in a nearby hotel. Dahmer spent most of his salary on alcohol and was soon evicted from the motel for non-payment. He initially spent his evenings on the beach and as he continued to work at a sandwich shop until phoning his father and asking to return to Ohio in September of the same year. After his return to Ohio, Dahmer initially resided with his father and stepmother and insisted on being delegated numerous chores to occupy his time while he looked for work. He continued to drink heavily, and 2 weeks after his return, Dahmer was arrested for drunken disorderly conduct, for which he was fined $60 and given a suspended 10-day jail sentence. Dahmer's father tried unsuccessfully to wean his son off alcohol. In December 1981, he and Dahmer's stepmother sent him to live with his grandmother in West Allis, Wisconsin. Dahmer's grandmother was the only family member to whom he displayed any affection. They hoped that her influence, plus the change of scenery, would persuade Dahmer to refrain from alcohol and find a job and live responsibly. Initially, Dahmer's living arrangements and his grandmother were harmonious. He accompanied her to church, willingly undertook chores, actively sought work, and abided by most of her house rules, although he did continue to drink and smoke. This new influence in his life initially brought results, and in early 1982, Dahmer found employment as a phlebotomist at the Milwaukee Blood Plasma Center. He held the job for a total of 10 months before being laid off. Dahmer remained unemployed for over 2 years, during which he lived upon whatever money his grandmother gave him. Shortly before losing his job, Dahmer was arrested for indecent exposure. On August 7, 1982, at Wisconsin State Fair Park, he was observed exposing himself to a crowd of 25 women and children. For the incident, he was convicted and fined $50 plus court costs. In January 1985, Dahmer was hired as a mixer at the Milwaukee Ambrosia Chocolate Factory, where he worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. 6 nights per week, with Saturday evenings off. Shortly after Dahmer found his employment, an incident occurred in which he was propositioned by another man while sitting reading in the West Allis Public Library. The stranger threw Dahmer a note offering to perform fellatio upon him. Although Dahmer did not respond to his proposition, this incident stirred in his mind the fantasies of control and dominance he had developed as a teenager, and he began to familiarize himself with Milwaukee's gay bars, gay bathhouses, and bookstores. He is also known to have stolen a male mannequin from a store, which he briefly used for sexual stimulation until his grandmother discovered the item stowed in a closet and demanded he discard it. By late 1985, Dahmer had begun to regularly frequent the bathhouses, which he later described as being relaxing places, but during his sexual encounters, he became frustrated at his partners moving during the sexual act. Following his arrest, he stated, "I trained myself to view people as objects of pleasure instead of as people." For this reason, beginning in June 1986, he administered sleeping pills to his partners, giving them liquor laced with the sedatives, then raping their unconscious bodies. After approximately 12 such incidences, the bathhouse's administration revoked Dahmer's membership, and he began to use hotel rooms to continue his practice. Shortly after his membership of the bathhouses was revoked, Dahmer read a report in a newspaper regarding the upcoming funeral of an 18-year-old male. He conceived the idea of stealing the freshly interred corpse and taking it home. According to Dahmer, he attempted to dig the coffin from the ground, but they found the soil too hard before abandoning the plan. In August 1986, Dahmer was arrested for masturbating in front of two 12-year-old boys as he stood close to the Kinnickinnic River. He initially admitted the offense and was again charged with indecent exposure, but quickly changed the story and claimed he had merely been urinating, unaware that there were witnesses. The charge was changed to disorderly conduct, and on March 10, 1987, Dahmer was sentenced to 1 year of probation with additional instructions. He was to undergo counseling. On November 20, 1987, Dahmer, at the time residing with his grandmother in West Allis, encountered a 25-year-old male from Ontonagon, Michigan, named Stephen Tuomi, at the bar, and persuaded him to return to the Ambassador Hotel in Milwaukee, where Dahmer had rented a room for the evening. According to Dahmer, he had no intentions of murdering Tuomi, but rather intended to drug and rape him as he lay unconscious. The following morning, however, he awoke to find Tuomi lying beneath him on the bed, his chest crushed in and black and blue with bruises. Blood was also seeping from the corner of his mouth, and Dahmer's fist and one of the forearm were extensively bruised. Dahmer stated he had no memory of having killed Tuomi, and later informed investigators that he could not believe this had happened. To dispose of his body, Dahmer purchased a large suitcase in which he transported the body to his grandmother's residence there 1 week later. He severed his head, arms, and legs from the torso, then filleted the bones from the body before cutting the flesh into pieces small enough to handle. Dahmer then placed the flesh inside large plastic bags. He wrapped the bones inside a sheet and pounded them into splinters with a sledgehammer. The entire dismemberment process took Dahmer approximately 2 hours to complete, and he disposed of all of his remains, excluding the several head, in the trash. For a total of 2 weeks following his murder, Dahmer retained the victim's head wrapped in a blanket. After 2 weeks, Dahmer boiled the head in a mixture of Soilex and alkali-based industrial detergent and bleach in an effort to retain the skull, which he then used as stimulus for masturbation. Eventually, the skull was rendered too brittle by the bleaching process, so Dahmer pulverized and disposed of it. Following the murder, Dahmer began to actively seek victims, most of whom he encountered in or close to gay bars, and whom he typically lured to his grandmother's house. Then he drugged them before or shortly after engaging in sexual activity with them. Once he had rendered the victim unconscious with sleeping pills, he killed them by strangulation. 2 months after the Tuomi murder, Dahmer encountered a 14-year-old Native American male prostitute named James Doxetater. Dahmer lured the youth to his home and offered $50 to pose for nude pictures. At Dahmer's West Allis residence, the pair engaged in sexual activity before Dahmer drugged Doxetater and strangled him on the floor of the cellar. Dahmer left the body in the cellar for 1 week before dismembering it in much the same manner as he had with Tuomi. He placed Doxetater's remains, excluding the skull, in the trash. He boiled the skull and initially retained it before pulverizing it. On March 24, 1988, Dahmer met a 22-year-old bisexual man named Richard Guerrero outside of a gay bar called the Phoenix. Dahmer lured Guerrero to his grandmother's residence, although the incentive on the occasion was $50 to simply spend the remainder of the night with him. He then drugged Guerrero with sleeping pills and strangled him with a leather strap, with Dahmer then performing oral sex upon the corpse. Guerrero's body was dismembered within 24 hours of his murder, with the remains again disposed of in the trash and the skull again retained before being pulverized several months later. On April 23rd, Dahmer lured another young man to his house. However, after giving the victim a drugs coffee, both he and the victim heard Dahmer's grandmother call, "Is that you, Jeff?" Although Dahmer replied in a manner that led his grandmother to believe he was alone, she did observe that Dahmer was not alone. Because of this, Dahmer opted to not kill this particular victim, instead waiting until he had become unconscious before taking him to the County General Hospital. In September 1988, Dahmer's grandmother asked him to move out because of his habit of bringing young men to her house late at the night and the foul smells emanating from both the basement and the garage. Dahmer found a one-bedroom apartment on North 25th Street and moved into his new residence on September 25th. The following day, he was arrested for drugging and sexually fondling a 13-year-old boy whom he lured to his home on the pretext of posing for nude photographs. In January 1989, Dahmer was convicted of second-degree sexual assault and enticing a child for immoral purposes. Sentencing for the assault was suspended until May 8, 1989. On March 20th, Dahmer commenced a 10-day Easter absence from work, during which he moved back into his grandmother's home. 2 months after his conviction, and 2 months prior to his sentencing for sexual assault, Dahmer murdered his fifth victim. He was mixed race, 24-year-old aspiring model named Anthony Sears, whom Dahmer met at a gay bar on March 25, 1989. According to Dahmer, on this particular occasion, he was not looking to commit a crime. However, shortly before closing time that evening, Sears just started talking to me. Dahmer lured Sears to his grandmother's home, where the pair engaged in oral sex before Dahmer drugged and strangled Sears. The following morning, Dahmer placed the corpse in his grandmother's bathtub, where he decapitated the body before attempting to fillet the corpse. He then stripped the flesh from the body and pulverized the bones, which he again disposed of in the trash. According to Dahmer, he found Sears exceptionally attractive, and Sears was the first victim to whom he permanently retained any body parts. He preserved Sears' head and genitalia in acetone and stored them in his work locker. When he moved to his new address the following year, he took the remains there. On May 23, 1989, Dahmer was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1 year in House of Correction, with work release permitted in order that he be able to keep his job. He was also required to register as a sex offender. 2 months before his scheduled release from the work camp, Dahmer was paroled from this regimen. His 5 years probation imposed on 1989 began at this point. On release, Dahmer temporarily moved back to his grandmother's house in West Allis before, in May 1990, moving into Oxford Apartments located on North 25th Street in Milwaukee. Although located in the high crime area, the apartment was close to his workplace, was furnished, and at $300 per month, inclusive of all bills excluding electricity, was economical. On May 14, 1990, Dahmer moved out of his grandmother's house and into the 924 North 25th Street apartment 213, taking Sears' mummified head and genitals with him. Within 1 week of his moving into his new apartment, Dahmer had killed his sixth victim, Raymond Smith. Smith was 32-year-old male prostitute whom Dahmer lured to the apartment 213 with the promise of $50 for sex. Inside the apartment, he gave Smith a drink laced with 7 sleeping pills and manually strangled him. The following day, Dahmer purchased a Polaroid camera with which he took several pictures of Smith's body in suggestive positions before dismembering him in the bathroom. He boiled the legs, arms, and pelvis in a steel kettle with Soilex, which allowed him to then rinse the bones in his sink. Dahmer dissolved the remain of Smith's skeletons, excluding the skull, in a container filled with acid. He later spray-painted Smith's skull, which he placed alongside the skull of Sears, upon a black towel inside a metal filing cabinet. Approximately 1 week after the murder of Smith, on or about May 27th, Dahmer lured another young man into his apartment. On this occasion, however, Dahmer himself accidentally consumed the drink laden with sedatives intended for the consumption of the guests. When he awoke the following day, he discovered that his intended victim had stolen several items of his clothing, $300, and a watch. Dahmer never reported the incident to police, although on May 29th, he divulged to his probation officer that he had been robbed. In June 1990, Dahmer lured 27-year-old acquaintance named Edward Smith to his apartment. He drugged and strangled Smith. On this occasion, rather than immediately acidifying the skeleton or repeating previous processes of bleaching, which had rendered previous victims' skulls brittle, Dahmer placed Smith's skeleton in his freezer for several months in the hope it would not retain moisture. Freezing skeleton did not remove moisture, and the skeleton of the victim would be acidified several months later. Dahmer accidentally destroyed the skull when he placed it in the oven to dry, a process that caused the skull to explode. Dahmer himself was later to inform police that he had felt rotten about Smith's murder, as he had been unable to retain any parts of the body. Less than 3 months after the murder of Smith, Dahmer encountered 22-year-old Chicago native named Ernest Miller on the corner of North 27th Street. Miller agreed to accompany Dahmer to his apartment for $50 and further agreed to allow him to listen to his heart and stomach. When Dahmer attempted to perform oral sex on Miller, he was informed that'll cost you extra, whereupon Dahmer gave his intended victim a drink laced with 2 sleeping pills. On this occasion, Dahmer had only 2 sleeping pills to give his victim, therefore he killed Miller by slashing his carotid artery with the same knife he used to dissect his victim's bodies. Miller bled to death within minutes. Dahmer then posed the nude body in very suggestive Polaroid photographs for various suggested Polaroid photographs before placing the body in his bathtub for dismemberment. Dahmer repeatedly kissed and talked to the severed head while he dismembered the remainder of the body. Dahmer wrapped Miller's heart, biceps, and a portion of his flesh from the legs in plastic bags and placed them in the fridge for later consumption. He boiled the remaining flesh and organs into a jelly-like substance using soil eggs, and which again enabled him to rinse the flesh off the skeleton, which he intended to retain. To preserve the skeleton, Dahmer placed the bones in light bleach solution for 24 hours before allowing them to dry upon a cloth for 1 week. The severed head was initially placed in the refrigerator before also being stripped of flesh, and then painted and coated with enamel. 3 weeks after the murder of Miller on September 24th, Dahmer encountered a 22-year-old man named David Thomas at Grand Avenue Mall and persuaded him to return to his apartment for a few drinks, with additional money on offer if he would pose for photographs. In his statement to police after his arrest, Dahmer stated that after giving Thomas a drink laden with sedatives, he did not feel attracted to him, but was afraid to allow him to wake in case he would be angry over having been drugged. Therefore, he strangled him and dismembered the body, intentionally retaining no body parts whatsoever. He photographed the dismemberment process and retained these photographs, which later aided in Thomas's subsequent identification. Following the murder of Thomas, Dahmer did not kill anyone for almost 5 months, although on a minimum of five occasions between October 1990 and February 1991, he unsuccessfully attempted to lure men to his apartment. He is also known to have regularly complained of feelings of both anxiety and depression to his probation officer throughout 1990, with frequent references to his sexuality, his solitary lifestyle, and his financial difficulties. On several occasions, Dahmer is also known to have referred to harboring suicidal thoughts. In February 1991, Dahmer observed 17-year-old named Curtis Strotter standing at a bus stop near Marquette University. According to Dahmer, he lured Strotter into his apartment with an offer of money for posing for nude photos, with the added incentive of sexual intercourse. Dahmer drugged and strangled Strotter with a leather strap, then dismembered him, and Dahmer retaining the youth's skull, hands, genitals, and photographing each stage of the dismemberment process. Less than 2 months later, on April 7th, Dahmer encountered a 19-year-old named Errol Lindsay walking to get a key cut. Lindsay was heterosexual. Dahmer lured Lindsay to his apartment where he drugged him, drilled a hole in his skull, and poured hydrochloric acid into it. According to Dahmer, Lindsay awoke after the experiment, after which Dahmer had conceived in the hope of inducing a permanent, unresistant, submissive state, saying, "I have a headache. What time is it?" In the response to this, Dahmer again drugged Lindsay and strangled him. He decapitated Lindsay and retained his skull. He then flayed Lindsay's body, placing the skin in a solution of cold water and salt for several weeks in the hope of permanently retaining it. Reluctantly, he disposed of Lindsay's skin when he noted that it became too frayed and brittle. In 1991, fellow residents of Oxford Apartments had repeatedly complained to the building's manager, Sopa Princewell, of the foul smells emanating from apartment 213, in addition to the sounds of falling objects and occasional sound of a chainsaw. Princewell did contact Dahmer in response to these complaints on several occasions, although he initially excused the odors emanating from the apartment as being caused by his freezer breaking, causing the contents to become spoiled. On later occasions, he informed Princewell that the reason for the resurgence of the odor was several of the tropical fish had recently died and that he would take care of the matter. On the afternoon of May 26, 1991, Dahmer encountered a 14-year-old named Conrad Synthasophone on Wisconsin Avenue. By coincidence, he was the younger brother of a boy whom Dahmer had molested in 1988. He approached the youth with an offer of money to accompany him to his apartment to pose for Polaroid pictures. According to Dahmer, he was initially reluctant to the proposal before changing his mind and accompanying Dahmer to his apartment, where the youth posed for two pictures in his underwear before Dahmer drugged him unconscious and performed oral sex on him. On this occasion, Dahmer drilled a single hole into his skull through which he injected hydrochloric acid into the frontal lobe. Before Synthasophone fell unconscious, Dahmer led the boy into the bedroom where the body of 31-year-old Tony Hughes, whom Dahmer had killed 3 days earlier, lay naked on the floor. According to Dahmer, he believed that Synthasophone saw his body, yet did not react to seeing the bloated corpse, likely because of the effects of the sleeping pills he had ingested and the hydrochloric acid Dahmer had injected through his skull. He soon became unconscious, whereupon Dahmer drank several beers while lying alongside Cynthia phone before leaving his apartment to drink at a bar and purchase more alcohol. In the early morning hours of May 27th, Dahmer returned toward his apartment to discover Cynthia's cell phone sitting outside naked on the corner of 25th State talking to Lau, with three distressed young women sitting near him. Dahmer approached the trio and explained to the women that Cynthia's phone, whom he referred to as alias John Hmong, was his friend and attempted to lead him to his apartment by the arm. The three women dissuaded Dahmer, explained that they had phoned 911. Upon arrival, the two Milwaukee police officers, John Balcazac and Joseph Gabrish, Dahmer's demeanor relaxed. He informed the officers that Synthesophone was 19 years old, was his 19-year-old boyfriend, that he had drank too much following a quarrel, and that Franklin believed that this manner was intoxicated. The three women were exasperated, and when one of the trio attempted to indicate to one of the officers that he was bleeding from his buttocks and that he had seemingly struggled against Dahmer's attempts to walk him to his apartment, the officer harshly informed her to butt out and shut the hell up and did not interfere by adding the incident was domestic. Against the protests of the three women, the officer simply covered him with the towel and walked into him to Dahmer's apartment, where in the effort to verify his claim that he and Synthesophone were lovers, Dahmer showed the officers the two semi-nude Polaroid pictures he had taken of the youth the previous evening. The officers later reported having noted a strange scent reminiscent of excrement inside the apartment. The odor emanated from the decomposing body of Hughes. Dahmer stated that to investigate this, one officer simply peeked his head around the bedroom but really didn't take a good look. The officers then left with the departing remark that Dahmer take good care of his boyfriend. Had Balcazac and Gabrish conducted a background check on Dahmer, it would have been revealed that he was a convicted child molester under probation. Upon the departure of two officers from his apartment, Dahmer again injected hydrochloric acid into Synthesophone's brain. On this second occasion, the injection proved fatal. The following day, May 28th, Dahmer took a day's leave from work and devoted himself to dismemberment of the bodies of Synthesophone and Hughes. He retained both victims' skulls. On June 30th, Dahmer traveled to Chicago, where he encountered a 20-year-old named Matt Turner at the bus station. Turner accepted Dahmer's offer to travel to Milwaukee for a professional photo shoot. At the apartment, Dahmer drugged, strangled, and dismembered Turner and placed his head and internal organs in separate plastic bags in the freezer. Turner was not reported missing. Five days later, on July 5th, Dahmer lured 23-year-old Jeremiah Weinberger from Chicago Bar to his apartment on the promise of spending the weekend with him. He drugged Weinberger and twice injected boiling water through his skull, sending him into a coma, from which he died 2 days later. On July 15th, Dahmer encountered 24-year-old Oliver Lacey at the corner of 27th and Kilbourne. Lacey agreed to Dahmer's ruse of posing nude for photographs and accompanied him to his apartment, where the pair engaged in tentative sexual activity before Dahmer drugged Lacey. On this occasion, Dahmer intended to prolong the time he spent with Lacey while alive. After unsuccessfully attempting to render Lacey unconscious with chloroform, he phoned his workplace to request a day's absence. This was granted, although the next day he was suspended. After strangling Lacey, Dahmer had sex with the corpse before dismembering him. He placed Lacey's head and heart in the refrigerator and his skeleton in the freezer. 4 days later, on July 19th, Dahmer received word that he was fired. Upon receipt of the news, Dahmer lured 25-year-old Joseph Bradoft to his apartment. Bradoft was strangled and left lying on Dahmer's bed covered with a sheet for 2 days. On July 21st, Dahmer removed the sheets to find the head covered in maggots, whereupon he decapitated the body, cleaned the head, and placed it in the refrigerator. He later acidified Bradoff's torso, along with the two other victims killed within the previous month. If you've made it this far, you're awesome. I'm going to pause here, take a breath, and get back to it in the next episode. I am not the type to make you wait a few days with a two-part episode. I will get that up and running ASAP. I love y'all. Thanks for listening. See you next time.